Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is worthy of all the praise. All the praise. I just wanted to add, before the kids go out this morning, I just wanted to add a couple other announcements, a couple of things. I just wanted to thank each and every one of you who contributed on Friday for Bruce's celebration of life. The food just kept coming. I've never seen so much food. I'm like it fed, not just fed everyone here, but it disappeared in different, people took it back for this person and people took it back there and someone took it back there. And I think there's even some left over for this morning here. So thank you so much for your generosity and your heart of love in that. So thank you. Neil, that was Bruce's brother who was here. He really wanted me to just to say on behalf of the family, thank you. So thank you. You know, we will miss Bruce greatly. He has been a massive part of this household of faith for the last nearly 8 years. And I was just reflecting upon a conversation I had with Bruce about 5-6 weeks ago. And he said to me in that conversation, he said, you know, it's really important that I step down from some of the things that I've been doing because God has been telling me that there are other people that need to step up. Doesn't that just sound like Bruce? Other people need to step up. So, you know, if you've been feeling in your heart, you've had a stirring in the area of prayer ministry, praying, you want to learn about prayer, come and see me. Healing, we're actually looking at healing at the moment in our equip group of a Tuesday night. So if you're interested, come along. You know, and I think one of the things that we will definitely miss is just that big smile and that big hug that just grabbed you. So why don't you go around and hug one another? You know, our heart is here to raise up people. Discipleship, equipping people. We believe in Ephesians 4 that the ministry is not to be done by the pastor or the apostle or the prophet, the evangelist, but the ministry is to be done by the people of God. And when we say ministry, it's not confined to what happens within these four walls. The ministry that God wants to do is through our life. Is there an amen? In your workplaces, in your homes, in your families, down the street, we don't want to make, you know, we don't want to just have everything that revolves around this space. We want to disciple you and encourage you and equip you to be as Christ to those people that are in your life. I just want to thank you also for those people that have been contributing to the extra offering for the outreach in the kitchen area, the cafe area. It is going ahead. We don't have the full finance to do that, but we continue to step forward in that. Because we want to see not only be used by the church family, but we want to have that Wednesday night meal for the homeless and for the less fortunate as well. So we're going to continue to press forward with that. The conference in a couple of weeks' time is, I believe it's going to be a good one. We're really blessed to have a true prophet in our nation come amongst us. So I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in that time. Is there an amen? We will take up a love offering on that day. And if you're interested in being part of the Hub ministry, that is the Christian bookshop on the corner, or the care ministry or even the kids ministry, please put your hand up. We would love to see people involved in that area. We still also have a couple of spots on our Alice team available. If the Lord's stirring your heart to come to Alice Springs, please come and see me. And last but certainly not least, we had another special birthday during the week. Jeanette, you turned 70. Please forgive me for telling everybody. We love to celebrate special birthdays and we bless this lady. Happy birthday. So that's awesome. So good. We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. I'm looking forward to tonight. Our worship night's always a great time. And everyone's different. Every time we gather to worship, it's always different. So I really want to encourage you to take that bit extra time out of your week and try and make one of the two Sundays evenings a month. God is definitely doing stuff in that space. Father, we want to thank you for today. We thank you as we've been reminded that you are always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. In every season, in every trial, in every situation where things are unexplainable, where there's mysteries happening, God, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we want to thank you that your word is truth. And we want to thank you for the spirit of truth. And we pray, God, for continual revelation of the truth of your word to come alive in us, that we could truly be a representation of your people here on earth. It is your kingdom come. It is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we thank you for your word and your spirit this morning in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Don't you love that picture? It speaks volumes. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. As we continue the thoughts upon the kingdom of God, you know, sometimes people, just when we're talking, people say, why do you talk about the kingdom so much, Tim? Well, the truth of the fact is that Jesus did. You cannot read, as I've said before, you cannot help read the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and not read the words, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. You cannot read the Gospel of Matthew and not see the kingdom. His gospel is often tagged as the gospel of the kingdom because of the way that he it's been put together. But it wasn't just, you know, I mean, just at that time. Jesus, when he reappeared to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 3, after he had suffered, he also presented himself to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. And then it says this, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. In that 40-day window when Jesus appeared to his disciples to reassure them and to give them hope and to, you know, he spoke about the kingdom of God. And I think if Jesus used that 40 days to speak about the kingdom of God, then we need to take note. Is there an amen to that? We need to take note of what Jesus says. So, you know, we can trace it all the way through the book of Acts and we will see those speaking about the kingdom of God. Paul, for example, in Acts chapter 20, he said in verse 25, and now I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of you all because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul went about explaining the whole thing. He wasn't a fluffy man. He wasn't a pillow prophet. He gave them the whole message of the gospel. He gave them the message of the kingdom of God. And he had a clear conscience because he knew that he declared the whole counsel of God. And I think we have deficiency in the church in our nation today because the whole counsel of God is not being preached. We preach love without holiness. We preach grace without truth. We speak of salvation without repentance. And what about the fear of the Lord? Oh. Who? Paul spoke about the kingdom in Acts 28. It says in verse 30, Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him. What a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful picture that Paul had an open house and he was there just teaching the people, and he welcomed everyone who came in the door. He welcomed them all. And he proclaimed to them the kingdom of God and the teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Is there an amen? I'm convinced that there is much more about the kingdom of God that today's believers need to hear. That's why we're speaking about the kingdom when I get the chance to. Last week was awesome. It was so good. In the midst of grief, in the midst of everything, the Holy Spirit was just moving like we more, Lord. Is there anyone else that wants to say more, Lord? More, Lord. I love it when God just moves and touches people, because people literally say, look what the Lord has done. They don't say, gee, I love that message by Tim, or I love that prayer by that person. They say, look what the Lord has done. And we want to see the Lord get all the glory. Is there an amen? So Jesus declared the need to be born again, because without being born again of the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom, John 3:3, and we cannot enter the kingdom, John 3:5. I think we need to change our terminology back to Scripture. You know, you walk down the street and you might pray the sinner's prayer, which is not even in Scripture, with someone, and we go, oh, I saved 10 people today. The language is wrong. Jesus saves. But the actual language is they must be born again. There has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin and righteousness. But so I think we need to get back to biblical terminology. And the fruit of being born again is that there's change. That's the difference. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. When you are born again, there's change. You don't want to do the same things that you used to do. You don't want to even think the way that you used to think. There's change. And we are being changed from one degree of glory into another, into the image that is Christ. Is there an amen? I think we need to get back to Scripture. This is critical, because the new life, being born again into the kingdom of God, that we can see it, it means a whole new way of thinking. A whole new way of thinking. Our stinking thinking needs to go. And we need heavenly-minded thinking. The way that we live, the way that we perceive, and I use that word perceive rather than see, because often when we say see, I'm seeing with my eyes, but to perceive is of the Spirit. The way that we perceive is very different. The way that we live is very different. It's of the Spirit. This born-again reality brings with it an inheritance and an authority. That's where we want to go today. This born again, this truth, this reality brings with it an inheritance and authority. Inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1. We could spend a bit of time in Ephesians. There's a lot in there. But let's just read a few verses, because there's so much in here about our inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father, this is from verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. This is our inheritance, brothers and sisters. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us, that we are accepted in the beloved. Come on. If that doesn't get us excited, that is our position. We are accepted in the beloved. I love that word, the beloved. The relationship between the Father and the Son, beloved. And we are found in that relationship. In Him, we have redemption, inheritance, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us all with all wisdom and understanding. We could just keep reading. In Him we have received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the One who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to His glory. Verse 13, in Him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were sealed when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance, guaranteeing what is to come. Wow. We could just keep unpacking Scripture. We could just keep reading Scripture, unpacking it. We are chosen. We are accepted. We are loved. We are redeemed. We are sealed. I couldn't help but think when I was reading this during the week. Well, actually, it was yesterday. I only really got to spend time with God over this yesterday. I couldn't help but think of the prodigal son. I couldn't help but think of the prodigal son. We've touched on this before, so we're not going to go deep into it. But the prodigal son who said, Dad, you're as good as dead to me. I just want my inheritance now, and I'll see you later. Can you imagine as an earthly parent, your children coming to you and saying that? You're as good as dead to me. I just want my inheritance now. And he went off and he squandered it and he spoiled it and he just, you know, this is what happened. And the Father, this is the love of God. Because we go through things in life that cause us pain, that cause us grief, that cause us these things. But the love of God never gives up. Is there a situation before you today? I want to say the love of God never fails. The love of God never gives up. Never gives up on that person. Doesn't give up on your husband. Doesn't give up on your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter. The love of God never gives up. And so I want to encourage you, do not give up. But the son went off and he squandered everything he had and he came back. He had a realization that what he had done was wrong. And he needed to come back. And he'd rehearsed his speech. It's in Luke 15. Go home and read it. He was rehearsing his speech because he's thinking, man, the slaves of my father's house are better than what I am right now in the situation that I'm in. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And the father saw him and he ran to him. But friends, we read that he put a robe on him, he put his ring on him, and he put sandals on him. The father restored the son. In spite of everything that the son had done, the father restored the son. That's what he has done for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has restored us. Is there an amen? We should get excited about this moment because he's put the robe on us. We have identity. We are royalty, not because of who we are or anything we've done, but because of what he has done for us. He's put the robe. He's put the ring. He says, you are part of the family. You belong to me. And I have put the seal of my spirit in you, guaranteeing what is to come. That's why years ago when we used to sing the song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, I had to change the words because I couldn't sing them because they weren't biblical. Because it used to say, I've got a blank now. Yeah, it just says, Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. I'm thinking, yeah, if it's relying on me, then we're in trouble. That's why that verse, that chorus we sang before is never let me, let go of you. Never. So it's back to him. You will never let go of me. 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 And I don't know about you, but the love of God just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm just starting to understand the love of God a little bit more, because the love of God never gives up. It never fails. It always believes. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. God's love never fails. And I'm like, do we dare pray that prayer? God, fill me with your love, that I would love the way that you love. Because you know what happens when you pray those kind of prayers? Opportunities come. We have to make the choice to love. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Sorry. The robe, the ring, the family, and the sandals. Purpose. The son had purpose back in his life. And I want to say over you today, I want to speak over your life. I want to prophesy over you today that in Christ you have identity. In Christ, you are part of the family, and in Christ, you have purpose. Who told you that you do not have purpose? What lie of the enemy have we believed that thinks we do not have purpose? Because you've received the robe, you've received the ring, and you've received the sandals. You are, if you are born again, you are in Christ. And the old is gone. And the new has come. So God, remove that stinking thinking out of us. Remove that stuff that is still of this world out of us, that we could think the way that you think. We could perceive what you are actually showing us, and we could live according to heaven and not according to earth. This image thing is really important. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I want to get to the authority bit. But the image thing is really important. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus was asked a question. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious rulers were always going around trying to trip Jesus up. There's always these sneaky spirits that are at work trying to trip people up. And we always need the wisdom, as Jesus carried wisdom. Is there an amen? And so they came to him. This is Mark 12, verse 13. They sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to trap him, or to try to trap him in his words. When they came to him, they said, "Teacher, we know you are truthful and don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality, but teach the way of God truthfully." They're actually lying, because they actually didn't believe that. They were so deceptive. And we see this time and time again. Anyway, they ask him this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we pay? And that says in verse 15, but knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus saw straight through it. Hello. He saw the, and that's what I'm saying, God, help us to see beyond what we see. Help us to perceive. Jesus saw beyond it. He saw their hypocrisy. And he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring a denarius to me." That's a day's wage. So they bought a coin. And he said this: "Whose image and inscription is this?" He asked them. "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus told them, "We'll give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's." And they were utterly amazed. Why were they utterly amazed? Because there was something that was deeper in that statement that they knew, and I think we miss. With a coin, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Straight away, their thoughts would go back to Genesis 1, let us make mankind in our image. So you give your coin, you give your taxes to Caesar, but you give God to yourself. I mean, you give yourself to God. Sorry. I'll just rewind that bit. You give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give yourself to God. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what he was saying. That's why they were stunned and they were amazed, because there was this deep truth that they were like, ooh. Oh. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of Trev's favorite verses, that as we behold the Lord, we are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. That is the work of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, in our life. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another to represent Christ in a more fuller way. Isn't it a beautiful thing? We could spend a bit more time about image, but I want to get into this. We need to go there. Our authority comes from being in Christ. That's where it comes from. Your authority comes from being in Christ. It doesn't come from how many degrees you've got. It doesn't come from how much IQ you have. It doesn't come from how many scriptures you can quote. It actually comes from being in Christ. Think about a police person. So let's just try and think of someone that has authority in our culture that we live in. When they've gone through the academy and they've been trained and they've got to their place, they wear a badge or whatever they have, and they put on the front line. And it doesn't matter whether they're a first day police person or a 40th year police person, they carry the authority that if they step out and say stop, you have to pull over. Yeah? A first day, someone first day on the job, if they got their radar gun, although nowadays they don't seem to do that much anymore, they just have cameras everywhere, but you know what I mean. They used to have radar guns and they used to be hiding behind something, trying behind the bush or behind the tree or whatever. And then if they'd see you speeding, they'd step out and they'd go. Now, if they were first day on the job, they still had the same authority to go pull over. It is the same in Christ, brothers and sisters. Yes, we need to grow in wisdom. Yes, we need to grow in understanding. Yes, 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 yes. But you carry the authority from the day that you were born again in Christ. You carry the authority. Who told you you have no authority? I was really challenged a few years ago when I heard of a person who was only 3 weeks old in the Lord in Nepal, and they raised someone from the dead. I was like, ooh. You know, we'll get there. We need to grow. We need to gain wisdom. We need, absolutely. You know, I remember listening to Graham Cook, just changing channels just a little bit. I remember listening to Graham Cook when I was first moving in the prophetic grace, because someone said to me, you know, there's some things here that you need to understand. And one of the things Graham Cook said was that it actually took him 17 years from when someone prophesied over him and said, you know, you are called to be a prophet of the Lord, to actually recognizing that he was actually at a place of maturity and wisdom and character and understanding to actually truly be the prophet of God. 17 years. And at the time I was like, ah, come on, can't take that long. Oh, actually it does. So yes, we need to grow in wisdom. We need to grow in understanding. Yes, 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 yes. But from the day that you were born again, you carry authority. Who told you you have no authority in a spiritual sense? Who told you? I wholeheartedly believe that, as I've said time and time and time and time again, that this move of God that we're praying for, this move of God that we are believing for, is about the people of God. It is about the body being activated. It is about the bride being made ready. It is about each and every person who has called upon the name of the Lord beginning to walk in their inheritance and their authority in Christ. I wholeheartedly believe that. It won't be about a figurehead. It won't be about a single church. It won't be about a single location, because the body of Christ will be activated. Is there an amen? My question is today, is that you? Do you want to be activated? Do you want to step out in your inheritance and your authority in Christ? Are you comfortable in your Christianity? Well, maybe the Jesus is coming to rock the boat a little bit, so we get a little bit uncomfortable in the boat, so that when Jesus is on the water, we go, this boat's going to sink. I'm going to have to go to Jesus. Is that all right? Because I think, this is part of leadership, I think I see more for you than you see for yourself. And my heart is to call it out in you, that you would start to see everything that I see, that what God has shown me for your life. And I don't want to embarrass anybody today, so I'm not going to do it. But I can see things that have been shown to me by God over your lives, that I just want to see it fanned into flame. Come on. You see, the world makes us think like it's like us. It's like what we deserve and what, you know, but it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about everything that he's done and everything that he is. It's about him. You can't manipulate the name of Jesus. I remember years ago that when that prosperity gospel thing came out to its full extreme. Now, does God want us to prosper? Does God want us to be in good health? Absolutely, that's all scriptural. But it got taken into an area that it was never, ever meant to go. And people would use that verse in John 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I said, man, we haven't unpacked that verse correctly. Because what people thought was, yeah, I'm just going to use the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I ask for that BMW on the street. In Jesus' name, I ask for a jet. In Jesus' name, I ask for a better house. And that's what people were doing. But you can't manipulate the name of Jesus. It says, if you ask anything in my name, it doesn't mean we can use Jesus' name for whatever we want. That's not biblical. If you ask anything in my name, lines up my will, my purpose. It is done. I feel I'm touching on different things. Hang on, we've got to get back to authority. Acts 19. Are we going okay? Okay, good. Just checking. You're a little bit quiet on me. Acts 19, verse 11. God was performing extraordinary miracles through Paul's hands, so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left and the evil spirits came out of them. Come on. Come on. That is, look what the Lord has done. Handkerchiefs, bits of cloth going everywhere. Demons coming out, spirits coming out, people being healed. Now, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. See, this is the manipulation. I command you by the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Okay, that's going to work. Well, they thought it would. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus. And I know Paul, but who are you? Wow. I know Jesus and I know Paul because he's in Christ. I know. I recognize the authority, but who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, and prevailed against them so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. They took a beating. They got a flogging. When this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. May the name of Jesus be held in high esteem over Bundaberg and over Australia again. The Greek for Christian is like Christ or little Christ. As I've said before, we don't call ourselves Christian. I'm a Christian. Every second person in Australia calls themselves a Christian. It's actually bringing down the name of Christ. But it's like, I can see Christ in Kelly. She's a Christian. I can see Christ in Guy. He's a Christian. That's what it is. It's not for ourselves. It's for other people to go, I can see Jesus in you. I can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christian, are you? That is the best thing when someone else comes up to you and goes, there's something different about you. Are you a Christian? Aha, Jesus' name gets lifted high. Is there an amen? Oh, I love this next bit. Sorry, I'm going to get distracted for a minute. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices. Can you imagine that? People being born again and they're like, I can't, I have to come and tell you everything that I've been doing and everything that I've been a part of. I have to come and disclose it. I have to bring it to you because I actually just need to get it off my chest. That would really be a move of revival. Christians coming out and confessing sins and repenting. Oh man, come on, bring it on, Lord. Oh. While many of those who had practiced magic, I love this bit, collected their books and they burned them in front of everybody. And they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver, 135 years of wages. Can you imagine the value of the witchcraft and the books and the things that they'd purchased? 135 years worth of wages being burned up like that? You know that Jesus is right there in that place when that kind of thing is happening. Is there an amen? In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. Go back to chapter 16. Verse 16. Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. You see, the enemy's a counterfeiter. He doesn't create, he just counterfeits. This is what's happening here with this fortune telling. And as she followed Paul and the others, she cried out, this staggers me that she actually is telling them what's going on. These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are servants of the Most High God. The spirit in her was actually saying the truth. These men are telling you the way to salvation. These men are telling you the way to salvation. These men are telling you the way to salvation. She did this for many days. Can you imagine going around ministering to people and you've got this person that's following you? It probably would get a little bit annoying. And it says Paul was greatly annoyed and he turned to the Spirit. Oh. And he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her. You see, Paul recognized his authority was in Christ. And when we can look at Paul and we go, oh, I could never be like Paul. This is not about being like Paul. This is the fact that Paul was a persecutor of the church. He thought he was being zealous for God, but had a revelation that he was actually persecuting the body of Christ. Because Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He literally fell off his horse. He was blinded and then he saw again and he began to truly see. This was a man who said, you know what? I was a Jew of Jews. I was a teacher of teachers, but I consider it all dung for the sake of knowing Christ, my Lord. He truly had a born-again experience, and he recognized the authority that he now had in Christ. And Jesus says to us in Matthew 28, all authority, can you say that word? All authority? Well, that wasn't very convincing. In heaven and on earth has been given to me as Jesus, therefore go. Do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. Don't get into those places. Don't let worry, stress, anxiety run your life. Don't do that. But I say, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded with you. And surely I am with you. When we go, we have the authority of Christ because he said, go. In Luke 10, which was one of Bruce's favorite passages. Well, in the time that I knew him, it was anyway. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 72, you know, because some people say, oh, well, that was just for the apostles. No, 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 hang on a minute, because here's 72 others. And then we see it through the book of Acts, continue to outwork and outwork and outwork. No, no, no. He started with the 12 and it multiplied. And it multiplied. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. There was a multiplication that was going on here. And Jesus sent them out. He said, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the harvest. And he says to them, heal the sick who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. See, Jesus was instructing them, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. But these are the verses. Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. Joy. I think the enemy sometimes doesn't want the people of God to step out into the things of God because he knows they're going to actually start to get hope and joy and life back into their spirits. We look at the woe is me. We look at everything that's not happening or happening around us. But what happens if we just take a step? I hope I'm not preaching too long this morning. I don't know where we are with time. The 72 return with joy saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. There's almost a hint, and I don't really know, but it's almost like there's a hint. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Like a woo! They return with joy. Can you imagine it? Being sent out. We go, okay, church, let's go. From here, we're going out on the street. Let's go. We're going to go in pairs. We're going to send you out two by two. Let's hit Hinkler. Let's hit Sugarland. Let's hit the main street. And people are around and they see someone and they go, oh, can I pray for you? It looks like you've got a sore leg. And you come back and there's a healing. You see someone manifesting over there. And you say, come out in Jesus' name. Friends, can you picture this with me for a minute? And they all come back and they're filled with what? They're filled with joy. Why? Because they'd seen the power of God changing people's lives. And they're like, wow, God's even using us. For some of you here this morning, you don't believe that God can use you. Oh, that's it. There are some of you here today that you don't believe that God can use you. You've been told by people in your life often enough that you're not good enough, that your life is never going to change, that you've actually started to believe that about your walk with Christ. Well, you need to get rid of that this morning. Maybe you need to lay that crown down at the feet of Jesus and you need to come and start to align your thoughts with the Word of God. Because the Word of God clearly shows us that I can prophesy. The Word of God clearly shows us that I can cast out demons and spirits in Jesus' name. The Word of God clearly shows us that I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Word of God shows us so much. And the enemy's just trying to be on your shoulder going, don't listen to Tim. Well, you need to go, hang on a minute. Get out of my thinking in Jesus' name. I declare that I have the mind of Christ and I have a sound mind. And Lord, I want your thoughts because I know your plans and purposes for me are for good, Lord. And Jesus said to them, I watch Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. He says that to you today. He's saying that to us. I have given you authority, not willy-nilly authority, not just to do whatever you want to do. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And if you're tempted to get carried away a little bit because you're like, whoa, that's awesome. Jesus brings us back to earth and he says, however, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, there it is. There's the reminder. Not get carried away about my ministry and what I'm doing for Jesus. And I'm like, well, it's about Jesus. It's about him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus, his glory. He's worthy of it all. This authority is not to make us look good, but it's to demonstrate the kingdom. That's where I want to finish with today. We'll move on next time. It's to demonstrate the kingdom. Demonstrate the kingdom. Demonstrate the kingdom. He gets all the glory. We have to take our eyes off ourselves and we have to put them onto Christ. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You believe that this morning? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Strengthens me. Our testimony time every Sunday with communion, I'm believing, is going to be more and more filled with, hey, I was in the supermarket this week and I felt to share my faith with somebody and they want to know more about Jesus. Hey, I was down at the soccer club this week and I saw someone that got hurt and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and pray for them. And their knee got healed. I believe we're going to hear more and more testimonies because it is about the body of Christ being activated. Music team, you want to come? I want to finish with this scripture. I'm going to open the front today. I want to open the front for prayer. That if you feel that this message is speaking to you, if you feel like that the enemy has been robbing you of your identity and of the authority that you carry in Christ, then I'm believing that God is going to break through and do something in your life today. I want to pray with you. I want to anoint you with fresh oil for a fresh season that has already been proclaimed today. Amen. But I want to read these verses from Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. That's exactly what our world is like right now. Darkness is over the earth. There's thick darkness over people. You can see it. You don't have to spend too much time in our society to see the thick darkness. But this is where, as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are called, this is our moment. It's when things get darker, the bright get brighter. When there's a little bit of sun on the horizon, you don't see it. But when the sun has gone down, you see the light. And I want to say, church, this is the time for us to arise and shine the glory of God. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. You are graced. You are gifted. You're anointed for such a time as this. Nations will come to your light and kings to your shining brightness. Raise your eyes and look around, for they will gather and they will come. Your sons will come from far away and your daughters on the hips of nannies. They will see and be radiant and your heart will tremble and rejoice. We just got to get rid of the bushel now. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You do not hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. There have been multiple occasions where I have been put in a circumstance and my first thought, I just want to be real for a minute, my first thought is, I got nothing, I just want to get out of here. I'm like, this is beyond me. How can I pray for this person? How can I minister to this person? Oh my goodness, I'm with these people. I just want to get out of here. And it is I. It's like Moses' transaction with God. What if I go to them? And God just had this exchange with Moses and he says, no, I am who I am. Moses, it's not you. It's not about you. It's about me and I'm calling you to go. You can be assured that where God calls you, where God leads you, he is with you. So today, brothers and sisters, put off anything that has kept you from mediocrity. Put off anything that has stopped you from stepping into the greater things that are yours in Christ. Receive the robe, receive the ring, receive the sandals. Receive your identity afresh. Get out scripture, start reading the verses. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get out the scriptures and start speaking them over yourself. It's time to rise and shine. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. But if you need prayer this morning, if you just feel like you need a fresh anointing this morning, feel like there's an exchange where you need to give something to God, fear, rejection, unbelief, unworthiness, shame, guilt, pride, give it to God and let him fill you. Let's rise.